6.5% was it? Is that what the current odds are of the Stanley Cup?
Well, and if you look at the round by round progression, the Stanley Cup favorite is the Vancouver Canucks.
Like, what a time to be alive!
Talking you through every goalie controversy, scoring slump, and draft lottery bust, this is the C4 Podcast on CanucksHockeyBlog.com. Here they are, the best starting lineup we could afford under the salary cap. Chris, Matt, Anna, and Adam.
Welcome to another episode of the C4 Canucks Hockey Podcast, brought to you by the Full Press Coverage Network and CanucksHockeyBlog.com. I am Chris Adelaide Forsyth, joined virtually, as always, by Anna Forsyth at A4Sy03. Welcome to Zoom, Anna, because our original plan of using Squadcast went straight out the window.
Yeah, but we don't give up. We don't just cancel the podcast just because we have to slightly change the way of doing the podcast, do we? We just keep going.
We're not. So what you're suggesting is we're not postponing the episodes until such time as that we can have a full capacity episode. We're willing to work with the reduced capacity that Zoom presents us when you use the free version.
If the metaphor isn't too tired, yes.
Yeah. How you doing? How you been this last week?
I mean, I've been good. I guess I've had a little more time on my hands than I usually do because Canucks haven't been playing. Actually saying that, I don't even think that's true because there's been a very gripping Ashes test and the baby Canucks have been playing. But yeah, not watching Canucks hockey is what I've been doing. What about you?
Speaking of the Ashes, I saw from a friend of the show, Annalise, she had shared that you were forcing her to watch the Ashes and then in turn forced her to watch some football this weekend. And despite all that, did not provide tea.
I know. My friends are very patient. Yeah. I was planning to have my hockey friends over to watch the Canucks Senators game since we had our tickets canceled. And we thought, you know what, we'll still watch it. That got screwed over. So we said, oh, we'll just watch some hockey. So we ended up watching most of the Chicago Vegas game instead. And it was still fun. But yeah, when I didn't really expect to be in a position where England were holding out for a draw. So it was very tense for me. So I had to put on the cricket and explain to everyone what was going on. And yeah, I think people enjoyed it. Maybe not I don't think Annalise enjoyed the football game the next day, but neither did I. It was terrible. So,
well, what time was the match?
That was pretty civilized. It was 9 a.m.
Okay, so it wasn't like
fairly civilized,
like 5 a.m. kickoff or our time or whatever the earlier kickoff.
Yeah, I don't know if I would have gone up for that. So,
well, you know what? I saw the tweet from Annalise that you didn't provide tea, and I was just floored.
Okay, so I do have tea in my house. Not a lot of tea because I don't drink it because I'm a terrible Brit, but I do have tea in my house. But she brought her own tea, so.
Well, okay, wait.
To do?
She brought her own. Well, why would she then go and say that you weren't providing it? Like, I wouldn't provide you tea if you brought tea to my house to consume. I might say if you were completely out and you finished, did you want more? I'll make a pot or make it.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't exactly know what tea was in my house because I don't drink it, but
being a bad Brit, no.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you can tell how well the Vancouver Canucks have done this past week, considering we've just spent the last, what, 3 or 4 minutes talking about the lack of good tea in Anna's house.
Yeah.
Yeah. In fairness,
I mean,
Canucks haven't done poorly either.
No, it's true. But I was listening to our last episode today. And you made an offhand comment saying, oh, Canucks will only have one game between now and our next episode, or maybe they'll have none. And how right you were. No games to talk about.
Yeah, which we'll get into in a short moment when we dive into Rewind. I mean, their glasses half full. We'll talk about why. We got a game changer and then a half full, half empty, which is all going to be about probably the league, Canucks, COVID, all that jazz. And hey, it's a short episode because we're using Zoom. So let's not wait further. Let's dive into Rewind. Again, if you happen to somehow not realize this, the Vancouver Canucks were scheduled to play the Ottawa Senators this past weekend on Saturday. And in our last episode, I was genuinely curious why the Sens would go, but the Islanders wouldn't, because the Islanders have been postponed. And we'd seen a league postpone games where Canadian teams were playing, primarily against U.S. opponents, but some Canadian opponents. And then word comes out, like, was it Friday, I want to say?
It was Friday, yeah.
That Friday morning. They're not, because of the reduced capacity, like they just came out and said it. They said, reduced capacity, we're going to wait until we can reschedule this when the barn can be full. And it got postponed. And that was that. The Vancouver Canucks homestand was wrapped up before it had even gotten underway.
Yeah. So, I mean, it was funny to see that the Canucks came home between games. So they came home before their Seattle game.
Mm-hmm.
And then they came back again, but there was no reason to. I mean, the Canucks are now in Florida.
Yeah.
Could have flown Seattle to Florida, turns out. Practiced there for a week. Would have been better than everyone's, you know, dealing with the snowpocalypse here in Vancouver.
True. I mean, I was going to say, are we certain that Florida would be better off than BC? But hey, it would be hot and warm, so.
Yeah, but then again, yeah, there is a difficulty that at least, you know, here they can control their practices. But
yeah.
And here they have a little farm team down the road that they can, you know, make use of sending players back and forth and back and forth.
Mm-hmm. Hey, you know, going back a moment here, though, you had tickets to the Senators game, and when it was reduced to half capacity, your ticket was no more. But now that they've postponed the game and they put out an announcement saying, hold on to your tickets, you'll use them at the rescheduled date. What are they doing about those who had had their ticket, quote unquote, canceled? Was it really canceled? Like,
excellent question. I mean, I don't know the answer to that. I was already dealing with the fact that I sold my ticket to the game on the 23rd of December and then it was postponed. So now I can't go to that game. I mean, I could, because I still could cancel the tickets, but yeah, that would be a horrible thing to do. Yeah, no idea where we stand on that.
I'm not going to go and take a shot at the Vancouver Canucks here, because they're unfortunately dealing with a situation that is dynamic. I mean, they sold a full barn. The restrictions required it to be reduced to half capacity, and there's no easy way to go about that. And we talked about it in the last show. You sort of, there's a tiered approach. And unfortunately, you and I, with our single game tickets, we're probably at the bottom of the tier. Mm-hmm. But then when you go and postpone said game that you had originally already planned on having with half capacity, that's kind of now, I mean, I don't know who made the decision. Maybe it was the league. Maybe the Canucks said, yeah, we'd rather not have a half barn. But that's kind of on you if you were involved to make that happen.
Yeah, I mean, as far as I understand it, it's a conversation between the league and the Canucks. So even though I think previous statements came directly from the league and that statement came from the Canucks, yeah, what I understand is that it's a conversation between the two of them, Canucks acting on advice from the provincial health authority. But, you know, there's a reason that the Maple Leafs are still able to go with empty barns. I mean, is that just a case of they don't see their situation getting any better? Or they just that they have more money in the coffers to deal with an empty barn?
Well, I would suggest MLSE has all the money in the world, but it's so weird. It is so weird. Just to make it very clear, I'm completely for the reduction of the capacity and taking the measured approach to ensuring transmission can be somehow hindered or reduced. I'm not going to go and fault the league for suggesting that Toronto can play and Vancouver cannot. You make the decisions that you make, but it is just such a crazy situation that it's difficult for, again, podcasts like us and all 137 of them to figure out what's actually going on. Speaking of what's going on, though, you had pointed out in the rundown, the Vancouver Canucks presume they play Tuesday against the Florida Panthers, which, hey, I've made it on a fine comment before. Who knows? It'll have been 10 days by the time they play, and then they'll have 11 games squeezed in over the course of 20. So essentially a game every couple nights.
Yep. And it's just like, is that not dangerous from all kinds of perspectives? And here I'm talking about just the fatigue element, which, by the way, makes you more susceptible to viruses. Yeah. And like, yeah, you're sort of putting people in that COVID dangerous environment. You know, these players have their vaccinations and whatever, but we've talked about this before. Hockey's pretty good breeding ground. So you're putting people in a difficult situation there, not to mention the injuries that could come out of playing so frequently.
Well, the games through the rest of January, though, these were previously scheduled. Like, I don't think any of these are rescheduled ones, are they?
Right. Yeah.
It was a compressed schedule, I get, but
I guess I'm talking about one, the juxtaposition between not playing for 10 days, then playing.
Yeah, having the extended break.
The compressed schedule, like into sort of after that. And two, the fact that the only gap in the schedule is in a month's time.
Which, like, won't be there.
Right. But do you, like, do they foresee it being that much better in a month's time that they'll just have, like, a better scenario to play these games out?
Well, see, you're talking about a month's time. I'm looking at the next homestand, Florida, St. Louis, and Edmonton, where if you've already declared, and again, the league and team straight out said the game against the Ottawa Senators was postponed due to capacity restrictions. I do not see a future where the province will say, oh yeah, no problem, we're doing well, let's go with a full house again by the time the 21st rolls around. Like, I kind of am of the opinion we're going to see this extended through to at least the end of January. Like, that current health order, like, our numbers are through the roof. Testing capacity is there. Like, there's no more. So why, what changes is, like, just YOLO? No, I don't think that's what's going to happen.
Yeah, I think that's completely unrealistic. Yeah.
To your point, that's more games that now need to be rescheduled in that 2-week-ish period of the, you know, break that was formerly there for the Olympics.
Yeah, the artist formerly known as the Beijing Olympics.
Yeah. Which may or may not still be happening. Hockey.
Quick aside, in that the NHL might have just kind of by accident, like, got themselves out of a murky situation with the Olympics, politically speaking. So that might be one silver lining, I guess. But yeah, I don't think that matters much to the players. I think they're still pretty upset, I'm sure.
Yeah. The upcoming schedule, though, I mean, there is somewhat of a silver lining that the Vancouver Canucks have been presented with having this time away, is that it's been enough days that they players who they did have in protocol will be exiting protocol in due time. Like, one of those players that went into protocol last week was Petey. And Pettersson came out and said today, like, he didn't feel symptomatic. It sounds like he was asymptomatically positive. And seeing some of the responses on social media, I think many people are missing the plot that just because you're not symptomatic doesn't mean you're not contagious. Like, there is a reason why a protocol is in place to ensure reduction in transmissibility. But again, we're just podcasters, not epidemiologists or doctors, so don't take advice from us.
Yeah, but at least we're admitting our ignorance here.
Right. But the Vancouver Canucks are going to potentially, you know, there's a lot of time between now when we're recording and the puck drops tomorrow, that they'll have a healthy roster. Rusty one in some cases, but healthy.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty healthy, apart from, you know, remember that player that still has long COVID? He's not coming.
No, Brandon Sutter is. I'm surprised we haven't heard much about Brandon.
Yeah, I feel like we did in the start of the season and haven't heard much since, but Daniel Wagner on Twitter did point to that today, and it's important to remember when we're talking about all these players that seem to be okay catching COVID, but not everyone, that's not the case with everyone. So, yeah. But yes, we, you know, we're looking at a better, healthier roster than we would have otherwise been looking at. But let's not forget, like, I would love this, like, Pettersson's forced absence to be the thing that kind of gives him the recharge and reboot this season. But as we have just discovered with trying to fix our podcast problems, rebooting doesn't always work. So we'll see on that front.
The thing about the break as well, I mean, before we start to talk just a little bit about what the upcoming week-ish of games will be like, is that the games in hand that the Vancouver Canucks had originally, they were ahead. They've now caught up. Like, they have the only team that I think that the Canucks are behind with games is the Avs right now, at least in the West. Kraken, Coyotes, Dallas. Okay, there are a few, but we're not like it was significant. Whereas now the Vancouver Canucks, presuming, let's say they rattle off 4 wins, like just to get, you know, they get those 4 wins, those 8 points catapult them into the, you know, top of the Pacific or close to the top of the Pacific. Calgary obviously has maybe a game there, but the point is that the Vancouver Canucks are actually in it without actually being in it.
I mean, there's a big if there.
I know.
In that sentence, like having to play the Stanley Cup champs in that
small thing
stretch. And Florida, who
apparently are a Stanley Cup contender.
Well, it's been my mini soapbox, at least in my fantasy leagues. Florida are sneaky good this year. So. Well,
okay, you're not so sneaky when you're like, was it the number 2 team in the league overall? Like, I think they're what, 7-30?
But I was saying this at the start of the year. That's why I was adding the sneaky caveat.
Yeah, they're 2nd overall in the league right now.
Yeah, but I don't think anyone else. I wasn't necessarily predicting that when I said they were sneaky good, but I was definitely predicting a good season from them.
And that's the first game for the Vancouver Canucks to, you know, shake the rust off to see if they continue the Bruce streak. In turn, after, you know, putting in whatever effort they can against the Panthers, to your point, they get to go play the Tampa Bay Lightning.
Yeah, it's going to be a real challenge. Like, this would be, we'd be looking at a challenging road trip here against Florida, Tampa Bay, Carolina, Washington, Nashville. Those are some of the strongest teams in the league. Tampa, Carolina, Florida, like Washington with Ovi, like that's a good challenging road trip in the best of circumstances.
Yeah. Well, so you like, if we just look at the point percentage, right? Because the difficulty is that games played and points vary. Carolina,
there would be no math.
Carolina's 758, top of the league. Florida, 729, they're number 2. Tampa's at 689, a little bit below. But if we look at the East, they are obviously in the third spot. And then you've got the Washington Capitals at 662, who are sitting in the, they had 6 because of point percentage. Toronto has a better record. But the thing is, you're bang on. The Canucks are playing probably the 4 best teams in the East.
Yep.
And I'm not going to say that they don't have a shot, but if we think that the streak can continue to these 4, and let's say the Vancouver Canucks do figure out how to make that happen, I don't know if you can then at that point say this team's not a playoff contender. Like, yes, they still have a lot of work, but what more do they have left to prove?
I mean, I would agree. Like, this would be a huge chance to not only like build up wins, because it doesn't matter if you give away points. Like, we will take, you know, overtime and shootout wins all day long on this road trip. But I just think that's such a big if. Like, even Nashville's the easy game on this road trip.
And it's not an easy game.
And they are 2nd in the West, like, on points percentage at least. I think they might even be 1st, if you're just looking purely at points. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's nuts. I mean, so here, like, I was actually looking at this before we clicked record. If the Vancouver Canucks were to, let's say, get 2 wins out of 4 before our next episode, but even 2 wins out of 5, in my mind, that is still a successful road trip. Yes, it's arguably not a winning one, but the streak that the Vancouver Canucks just got themselves off of gave them those sort of, you know, cushion wins to maintain their 2 out of 3 win record that they need to make the postseason. If they get more than that, it is difficult to my earlier point, to suggest this team doesn't conceivably have a shot. And I genuinely wonder, you know, what would possibly slow them down? Knock on wood, what we usually see slow the Vancouver Canucks down coming into this time of year. But hey, focusing on Florida, they're up tough. Tampa Bay up tough. Carolina up tough. Washington up tough. And the easy game against Nashville up tough. And then they get to come home and play the Florida Panthers again.
Yeah. So if they beat Florida twice in the next week or so here, like, that is huge. Especially, like, Canucks were really building that confidence. And we talked last episode about how huge that sort of psychological mindset thing is, of, you know, fresh start, new coach, new hockey ops department. Like, this is change, and change is good. And then they've just had 10 days of frustration. So if they can get back to that place mentally, that would be huge.
Yeah. The fact, though, that the Vancouver Canucks are getting Besser back, they're getting Pettersson back. And Dowling, I believe, is back.
Oh, thank God.
Oh, no, I'm trying to think who else was in protocol at the time. Was Miller in protocol?
I don't think so.
Okay, I can't. I mean, for a while there, it was like sort of one a day. But the point is, the Vancouver Canucks are getting these players back. They are going to be rusty. And I would have to think it'd be good for morale to get team back together, so to speak.
Yeah, I think you're right. Like, the sort of big pitch, I'm very worried about team morale down the stretch, as I'm worried about player morale across the league. But I agree, like, and the fact that they're on the road, that kind of helps a bit, you know, they're all together and no distractions, etc. So yeah, it could be really good, even just putting together a couple wins, like you say, especially early on in the road trip.
Speaking of morale, though, let's talk about our newest segment, the one that still doesn't have a drop, Game Changer. You have suggested they bring back the NHL All-Star Draft.
Well, so if we're not going to have an Olympics, they're currently still planning on having the All-Star Game, because that's a worthwhile use of time. And I'm a huge fan of All-Star Weekend, by the way. Like, it's kind of like little kids and then me. Like, I love it. I don't care what other people say, but I did love it a bit more when they had the All-Star Draft.
Okay. So I don't have a complaint about this, but you do realize the last time they had an All-Star Draft, it was one where beverages were served, and it was a whole lot of fun, including a player who wins a car because they happen to be the last name picked.
Yeah. I mean, you know, like, wear your mask unless you're actively eating or drinking. Same rules as a
Oh, they'll be actively game. Drinking.
But, you know, I, like, think it, yes, it took forever, but the whole point of All-Star Weekend is you get these people who don't usually play together, like, playing for the same team and, like, trash-talking each other, all of that. Like, it's so hard to, like, muster up any kind of competitive value to a division. Like, I don't like anyone in the Pacific Division. I don't want to be rooting for the Pacific Division. That's like, I hate those teams the most of the time, apart from Boston. Yeah. So it's just a bit weird to be like cheering for that as your team, whereas you may as well just have something that doesn't really matter either, and that's captains picking teams. It just seems like you get more personality out of the players, which is hard enough with hockey players.
Yeah, no, and I'm all for personality. I'm all for good fun. Like, and I mean, the All-Star Game, it's like shinny. I mean, it's for the kids. It's for Anna. It's for the sponsors, but it's shinny. And I think if the players are given creative opportunity to have fun and enjoy themselves, then the actual fans who are engaged or possibly even paying attention are probably better off for it. So I'm with you on this. Let's bring back the NHL All-Star Draft.
Yes.
Anyhow, we'll take ourselves a short break. You're listening to the C4 Canucks Hockey Podcast on CanucksHockeyBlog.com and the Full Press Coverage Network.
hitting out of the game. You can't hit anymore, so don't do it.
The unsportsmanlike conduct, I want to get an explanation on that.
No kidding.
Because how do you get suspended for unsportsmanlike conduct?
Plus interference. There's no interference there. He had the puck.
Now, Madison never ever did that before. Now, why did he do it? That because he was mad.
Well, your early favorite for the Calder Trophy, that's for sure. Elias Pettersson, you might even say your early favorite for the Hart Trophy.
Just to get back to your question, Elias is going to play plenty. He's going to play. He's going to get a lot of power play time. And, yeah, I'm concerned about our offense. We lost 200-point players, and we've got to find a way to score.
I contemplated opening this up by channeling my inner Sound of Music.
I was really hoping you would. That's why I wrote it in the rundown.
How do you
like
solve
that?
A problem like the schedule? I don't Very know good. How to continue this song anymore.
That was beautiful.
Yeah, I'm here all night. Tip your service. Try the chicken.
Well, this is Zoom, so we're very much not.
Yeah. The schedule. How do you solve a problem like the schedule? We sort of got into this a little bit in Rewind. But if we look at the NHL as a whole, more than just the Vancouver Canucks, they have approximately 2.5-3 weeks where they have a built-in buffer. The problem is it's not like they can just go in and say, boom, you are playing games on these nights, because some of the buildings that have cancellations, postponements are booked. Teams have to coordinate schedules. There's travel and logistics that are going to be involved.
I just think there's going to be such a fuss if you like take away home games from anyone. I mean, there's just going to be like, I just don't know how you do it. Like, hats off to whoever has to put together an NHL schedule at all. But we know how far down the pecking order Canucks seem to be with arguing for a favorable schedule. So how's it work this time?
Very true. The difficulty that I see, though, is that I don't, unless the season goes longer, right? Like it, the longer right. it can stretch, the more capacity they have for games. But if it doesn't, I don't see how they can fit them all in. Like at some point, they're going to have to come to the realization that not all teams will be in a position to complete an 82-game schedule. I'm not saying that the league won't try to, you know, move heaven and earth to make that happen. They want to have a full balanced 82-game schedule amongst all the teams. It's just you've got some weird situations. Like, I don't know if it's been determined yet, but it sounds like the Coyotes will be without a barn by the end of June. Like, that still seems to be a thing that's happening.
Yeah, so take away their home games.
Right? Like, that's kind of sketch. But I actually want to, you know, throw to a tweet I saw this morning when I logged on to Twitter. So Beast Mode on Twitter had commented that, and this is, again, it's a general feeling, but it's like baffle the NHL in turn. The Canucks think that they're magically going to disappear in a couple of weeks. They'll be able to have a full building. Again, this is about capacity. And Yerky 21 replied and said, don't worry, they'll make it up with a lot of doubleheaders in April. And I joked off. I'm like, yeah, they'll kick things off with a nooner at the Raj. But I genuinely wonder.
That's not a joke, though, Chris. It's going to happen.
I know. Well, like, could you? I mean, hey.
Remember us playing in May during the playoffs? We were playing regular season games. Yeah, that's going to happen again.
Oh, but could you imagine like doubleheaders in hockey?
Like, I mean, it's not insane to me. It happens in cricket all the time.
Baseball, like, it's a professional right? sport. They do doubleheaders. I mean, two shortened games, but doubleheaders.
It could be a thing. But it's interesting you built. Bring up the Coyotes, because I was thinking about that earlier in the recording, because let's talk about inequalities here. Like, the league has been propping up the Arizona Coyotes for years, and yet like they can't share some revenue to help teams that are struggling with reduced capacity. Like, apparently not.
I mean, listeners could not see the look on my face when I was trying to like, I don't know. But we could have an entire podcast series on what the NHL has done in Arizona. Mm-hmm. I don't exactly know how much money the league has funneled into the team, though. I know they have, but it does sound like the Coyotes have gotten themselves a sweet deal for far too long. And
yes, I think the league are pretty much done.
Yeah, I mean, the various different levels of government have decided to call in their markers, and unfortunately, the team may be done as a result. But like, you know, you do talk about the inequalities across the league. Is that you have, you know, as we said in Rewind, Toronto who's playing in an empty barn, but then you have Vancouver who's not playing here at all. What's interesting though is that I could conceivably see the family going to the league saying, we don't want to lose the gate revenue. I mean, the genuinely accepted rumor about how the Vancouver Canucks manage their finances is they get to spend as much money as they make.
Right.
Right. Like if they're not making money, they don't get to spend money, or they get to spend within the confines of a budget, but ownership really doesn't like loaning the team money to see that payback. That's why there's this focus on playoff revenue, because that's the quote unquote free money. Whereas like Toronto, MLSE, they got like boatloads of cash just to spend. And I mean, I'm not suggesting they're not concerned, but I think for their perspective, it's probably not yet a bother.
That's the thing. I mean, maybe it's just because they have the freedom to look long-term, big picture, but it does seem like the Canucks are really not. Yes, 50% gate is not good in a gate-driven sport, but big picture, it might make things more complicated. Like, beggars can't be choosers at this stage. We're in a pandemic still.
Well, like, you know, sort of what you've mentioned in this show and previous shows, what Beast Mode said on Twitter there, what many have said, at what point do the Vancouver Canucks in the league look at half a gate compared to no gate? Because if ultimately the decision is made, we have to play this game and the stadium won't have people, well, you passed up half for zero. I mean, it's a risk that you might have been willing to take, but you're taking a risk that there isn't going to be a solution that will be amenable. And I think, you know, when we think about how the league lives in a world of COVID, I mean, they've sort of casually talked about updating protocol. You're seeing more and more players talk about how strict the NHL happens to be. And they compare themselves to a league like the NFL, for instance, and somewhat to the NBA. But there's one big difference between the NFL and the NHL side of the fact that the different sports, the NFL doesn't have to worry about a team in Canada or teams in Canada and a Canadian government who may not be as amenable to the differences that you're going to go and put into place. They just need to roll with whatever the US government and in turn the state governments are allowing for. And as we have seen, the NFL has a little more power. Like they've already been talking about, they have an alternative venue for the Super Bowl. Is it in California that the Super Bowl is going to be hosted in? Sure, I don't. But the thing is if the state or the local government were to say reduce capacity, the NFL is like, yeah, we'll just go to plan B. We'll go to a more friendly venue.
Yeah, we'll find someone who give us full. Like, I mean, we've already seen that, in the NHL. Obviously, we were not even looking at capacity there, but in the bubble,
yep.
BC was turned down for strict return to work protocol. But yeah, I think the NFL has just have gone the Trump route of no more testing. We can't get more positive tests if we don't test as much.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's not a problem unless you know it's a problem.
Yeah. Honestly, I understand the frustration because, you know, there's reports of, you know, the strain, this new variant being less serious, even though it's more transmissible. We just don't know enough yet to take those risks, I would say, because there's still lots of people getting very sick with a new variant, whether it's vaccinated or not. So yeah, I don't think we're in a position yet to make that call.
But again, it is a fluid situation. Everything that we've said now could very well be completely out of date tomorrow because of how often things will change. We're obviously working with only the information in front of us, but I'm genuinely curious if you, our listeners, have an opinion or two on the matter. And one of the best ways that you can share said opinion with us is by dropping us a text message or sending us a voicemail to the C4 text line. That's 604-200-6201, 604-200-6201. In doing so, we will read it verbatim if it's a text message. If it happens to be a voicemail, we'll play it. And guess what, Anna? We have a text message from the C4 text line. This is from friend of the show, Lisa, who actually sent us a text message last week. And she says, "Hi, Anna and Chris. I'm cautiously choosing team playoffs. Happy New Year."
Well, thanks, Lisa. We appreciate it. Lisa's always been massive support of us. You know what? She's on the team playoffs. She got the memo. We are a playoff podcast.
That's right.
And you know what? Like, this time next week, we're going to be talking about the super successful road trip.
Where the streak still alives.
Yeah.
Yeah. It'll be like Bruce There It Was all week long.
Yeah.
But again, thanks, Lisa, for that. And Happy New Year to you as well. I know, think about Lisa, we had sort of been casually chatting, like, oh, maybe we'll be able to see each other this season. She apparently has a standing offer to buy us a beverage. Not entirely sure if that'll happen this season, but maybe next.
Yeah, I can't wait to take you up on that, Lisa. I hope you've looked at the climate pledge prices before you made that offer. But
yeah. Well, no. I'm thinking if we're going to go and get a beverage, we won't get it at the barn where it's like,
that's true,
where it's like $25 US or whatever the heck it is. We'll go to a more reasonable establishment in Seattle that serves $20 beer.
Yeah, exactly. I believe our friends of the show at Sound of Hockey have some recommendation of hockey bars that we can head out to.
Have you been to a bar in Seattle to buy beer?
Yes, I've been to a couple. Yeah, it's expensive.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure there might be more affordable solutions, but Seattle as a city is just a crazy market. Like, was it Marissa had actually shared an article or an infographic that showed Seattle is one of the more affordable cities in the United States to live. And it blew my mind because it showed like the monthly cost. And I'm like, that's affordable? But
yeah,
considering what some of the tech salaries happen to be in Seattle.
Yeah, that probably skews it, hey?
Like, oh, quite a bit. Like, and I'm not suggesting everyone in Seattle makes tech money. Please don't take me at that value. It's just, like, I never truly understood how expensive things were until I went on a work trip down there, and I could barely fit two meals within my per diem, let alone three. And I wasn't, like, eating at fine restaurants. I was hitting, like, the fast food stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I've been to quite a few, like, different areas of Seattle. I went to a more affordable, like, area the last time I was there, which wasn't the, you know, cleanest, whatever, like, most. I enjoyed the place, but, yeah, it wasn't like a...
It was an eclectic location?
Eclectic location, let's say that.
Had a lot of personality. Yeah,
had a lot of personality. That's using all the real estate words. But still, yeah, like, it's really expensive to go down there too, like, with all the taxes they have on, like, tourist stuff. Like,
yeah.
Oh, so, yeah.
Well, I mean, the sales tax alone's like in the 20% range or whatever it is, right? Like,
yeah. And then they have like a tourist, it's not called tourist tax, but like whenever you spend the night in Seattle, like,
yeah.
In a hotel, it's like, yeah. It's a whole thing.
Oh, maybe we should get Lisa to come up here.
Yeah, because it's super affordable up here.
Well, true. But her dollar will go farther. That's and at true. Least our beer prices are lower than their beer prices in Canadian dollars.
Our beer is better.
Yeah. Let's not start an international incident. The other thing that has obviously been happening is the snowpocalypse. Welcome back to winter. I mean, you missed the bulk of what we had to go through, obviously. And I know we talked a little bit about last episode. You were fully jet lagged and all that, but you got a taste of it this past week. Enjoy.
Yeah. No, I'm not a snow fan. Maybe I'd feel differently if Vancouver can function a bit better. Mm-hmm. But I mean, the day after we recorded the podcast, I got stuck out at UBC for like over an hour because transit wasn't getting off there and it was very hard to drive. So. Mm-hmm. That will happen. Now we're in the back to the rain apocalypse. Yeah. Like, so it's just very, very icy and impossible to walk anywhere. So, yeah.
The Tyler, I can't remember his last name, is the Weather Network, because Twitter account's 50 Shades of Fan. I stumbled across it because it showed up on my timeline sort of during the fall, transition from summer. And he shared a like a radar graphic or a model. And it's like this giant burst of like humidity showing up at, you know, the most opportune time of year where we've had all of this snow and it's just stuck around. So, yeah.
Yeah. I'm a cricket fan, so I've learned not to trust rain radars, but all reports do point to another atmospheric river that we're going to have. So lucky us.
Yeah. But yeah, here we are at the end of a show. It's a little bit shorter than normal because, hey, one, we didn't have a lot to talk about when it comes to the Vancouver Canucks. And two, we were using Zoom and we were restricted to 40 minutes. So hopefully we can wrap this up before Zoom simply disconnects us and kicks us out. But what final words of wisdom do you have for all of our listeners there, Anna?
I would love to watch a Vancouver Canucks game in the next week.
Well, you might get to watch
one
tomorrow.
That's all I have.
Or today, depending on when our listeners are listening to the show, or yesterday. Perspective.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's all I got.
Yeah. Final words of wisdom for me? You know, stay safe, stay warm, stay dry. You know, hug your family where it's socially appropriate to do so.
Where was an interesting choice of word there?
Hey, I can go and give, you know, baby force hugs and smooches, no problem. I can give my wife hugs and smooches, no problem. But I can give virtual hugs and smooches to my family. Actually, more hugs, no smooches.
Yeah, I don't want either of those from you.
Well, are we family, though? We're like, we're not family.
I'm just putting it out there.
Okay. Well, anyhow, stay safe, everyone. Obviously, if you haven't done so already, join Discord, discord.io/C4podcast. Follow us on Twitter at the C4 Podcast or Facebook, facebook.com/C4Podcast. You can find all of our episodes at C4Podcast.com. If for some reason you finally stumbled across the show and you're curious about some of the other stuff we've talked about, we've got some fabulous guests in our back catalog. And I'm thinking we should probably look to get a few more different voices on, talking about all sorts of different things sometime soon. I like obviously talking to you, Anna, but I feel that sometimes we sound more intelligent when we have smarter people than us join us.
I like that.
Yeah. So on behalf of Anna, A4 Says 03, myself, Chris, at Lightforce, we out.